Hi, you're with Truth News Radio Australia, broadcasting to you on the 12th of June, 2013. My name's Hereward Fenton. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Well, it's been quite a week. I think it's been an incredible week for freedom and transparency around the world. And I'm talking about really big picture themes here. Of course, the major event this week being the disclosures from ex-NSA CIA whistleblower Edward Snowden, which are really, really unprecedented. Many people are basically saying that these disclosures really are going to change everything. They're incredibly significant. Daniel Ellsberg has said they are the most significant whistleblowing leaks in US history. Of course, the other big event this week was the Bilderberg Group and the exposure of the Bilderberg Group via an incredible grassroots turnout there in Watford in the UK. And again, this feels like a turning point. It feels like things have reached a point now where enough people have begun to take action that it is really starting to disturb and disrupt the agendas of the power elites. And that's what we've been hoping and anticipating for many years. And it's actually now starting to happen. And that's an incredibly incredibly bizarre feeling, because, you know, you go through many years seeing no change at all, and you tend to think that you are faced with an impenetrable wall of resistance from an omnipotent force when you're dealing with these entrenched power structures. But the massive turnout there, with at least 2,000 people at the Fringe Bilderberg Festival, has forced the mainstream media to take the event seriously. When I say seriously, they actually don't. They cover it in a kind of backhanded, kind of snarky, kind of almost adolescent prep school kind of way, kind of like sniggering with their hands, hands in front of their faces. That's the kind of style of coverage we've seen from the BBC. And it's quite extraordinary, really, how incredibly cheap and low they become when they're sort of forced and dragged into reporting on a subject that they have studiously avoided for so many years. So I find that actually quite interesting and amusing. But it is actually very, very serious, and it's very real. Now, in the second hour of today's show, I have a really excellent interview lined up for you on a completely different topic. A farmer turned activist from Queensland in Australia, Brian Monk, will be joining us for the full hour in the second hour of the show. And Brian Monk is fighting an incredible campaign against the intrusion of gas drilling companies into properties around Australia. He, of course, has been a victim of this, and many people have joined with him. It's an incredibly tough struggle that he's involved in, and incredibly important, because if we don't turn back the forces of disruptive, rapacious corporate exploitation of resources, then it only gets worse. So, again, similarly with the whistleblowers of this world that have to step out and take the brunt of a lot of retribution and sometimes pay a harsh penalty, the people who stand up against CSG pay a heavy price too. It is extremely tough what they're doing. So I do hope you can join me for that second hour of the show, all about CSG, that's coal seam gas, also known as fracking. Really huge in Australia. Of course, it's been in the US for many years. It's more recently arrived in Australia, but it's quite well entrenched in Australia. And many farmers have, of course, gone along with it. Many of them are being paid. But it's been pointed out that the amounts they're getting paid are quite measly and quite pathetic when you consider the incredible profits reaped by the gas companies. So that will be a really interesting subject for our second hour of today's show. For the first hour, though, I want to concentrate initially on the disclosures of Edward Snowden, and I want to play a little, just for a reflection, I want to play a little clip here of the interview he gave for The Guardian towards the end, where he talks about what his greatest fears are. Now, Edward Snowden, of course, was a CIA analyst and then an NSA employee and then worked for a contracting organization which is sort of embedded or enmeshed with the NSA and had access to highly sensitive classified documents. Now, we've seen in the mainstream media he's beginning to be demonized already. Like it's initially there was, oh, he's a whistleblower. Now it's he's a leaker. And apparently the Associated Press has been instructed, they've instructed their employees not to refer to him as a whistleblower, but only to refer to him as a leaker. There have been many U.S. politicians calling him a traitor, calling his actions treason. And we had the former director of the CIA, James Woolsey, saying that he hopes that that Mr. Snowden is locked up for the rest of his life. Many such claims, statements coming from prominent U.S. representatives. But, I mean, the man's very brave. And I wanted to focus on what he actually says are his major fears, because I think that is actually where we need to really think about what we're all going to do, what steps each of us can take. So I'm just going to kick that off for you right now.
The greatest fear that I have regarding the outcome for America of these disclosures is that nothing will change. People will see in the media all of these disclosures. They'll know the lengths that the government is going to grant themselves powers unilaterally to create greater control over American society and global society. But they won't be willing to take the risks necessarily to stand up and fight to change things, to force their representatives to actually take a stand in their interests. And the months ahead, the years ahead, it's only going to get worse until eventually there will be a time where policies will change, because the only thing that restricts the activities of the surveillance state are policy. Even our agreements with other sovereign governments, we consider that to be a stipulation of policy rather than a stipulation of law. And because of that, a new leader will be elected. They'll flip the switch, say that because of the crisis, because of the dangers that we face in the world, you know, some new and unpredicted threat, we need more authority, we need more power, and there will be nothing the people can do at that point to oppose it, and it'll be turnkey tyranny.
Well, there we have it, turnkey tyranny, a great phrase, and I think a phrase that probably will go down in history. I think it sums it up very, very nicely, and the man's quite eloquent and extremely intelligent, I would say, and certainly in the way he frames his overall picture of what's going on. But he makes some very important points there too. And the most important point to me being the one about individuals being prepared to take risks. And this applies to everyone, my friends. It applies to every single person on this planet. Because no matter who you are, no matter what your station in life is, there will be risks involved in supporting the struggle and campaign against a tyranny which we are engaged in, which many of us are engaged in. No matter what you're doing, no matter what your walk of life, you are not risk-free. And by the same token, you are also empowered. There's a positive and a negative to this, right? You are not disempowered. You have some power. You may not have the degree of influence that a whistleblower such as Edward Snowden has, who can suddenly change the course of history. Such people are rare. But each of us has the ability to change the course of history on some level. But there will be risks. There will always be risks. And the problem being, and the greatest fear, as Edward Snowden says, and it's the greatest fear that that I have as well, is that people will never take a risk. And this risk could be as simple as losing your social cachet, you know, with your friends, because you don't want to bring up a difficult topic. You know, that's a huge one, folks. The failure to talk about things that are important because of peer pressure is one of the major things that holds back a flowering of liberty and openness and a change of culture towards something more positive. And it's such a pathetic thing to be held back by, but it's real. It really exists. People feel uncomfortable. They don't want to talk about anything difficult. They want to just keep it easy. Talk about sport. Talk about celebrity gossip. Talk about something trivial. Never talk about something that's absolutely earth-shaking and really, really important, even when you know it's important. Now, of course, there are many more significant risks that are involved. Many people will not join a protest movement because they feel it would jeopardize their careers. So simply the act of turning up at a rally, and I'm sure there'll be rallies for Edward Snowden around the world, simply turning up at a rally for Edward Snowden will be too much for most people. And I'm talking not here about people who are completely ignorant. I'm talking about people who are aware of the situation. Many people who work in the digital realm, IT, telecommunications, web development, software development, the whole gamut, right, of electronics and technology and software. Millions and millions of people who would have a sympathy with Mr. Snowden and know that he's right, but will not get up off their chair and do anything. Partly because of that peer group pressure problem, as I was saying before, partly because, and quite realistically, they're a little concerned about how it might affect their personal circumstances. Because once you disclose yourself as being a protester, you then become pigeonholed as that type of person. And, of course, we're seeing in the media Edward Snowden is being depicted as a criminal, and this will increase over time. Initially, it starts up a little soft, but it will build, especially as the statements from on high come down and as the indictments come down and extradition proceedings. And we're seeing no discussion at those levels at the moment about inquiries, about what we've got to do to put a check on these powers and intrusions of surveillance in people's lives. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. We'll be right back after the break with more analysis and criticism. Stay with us.
Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free.
Like they want us to be afraid, man. Or maybe we just like being afraid. Maybe we just so used to it at this point that it's just a part of us, part of our culture. Security alert on orange. It's been on orange since 01, G. I mean, what's up, man? Can a brother get yellow, man? Just for like 2 months or something? Goddamn. Sick of that. Mic check. The groove is thick, so I'ma rhyme like a lunatic. I do this shit with an unassuming wit. The corporation conjured up the bass and the tempo. My name is Liv, that's the intro, now let's go. The flow of life throwing strife into the mix.
Are you with Truth News Radio? It's great to have your company today. And first hour of today's show, I'm looking at the Snowden revelations, the PRISM surveillance system, and I'm giving you my angle on it, and I've actually got some interesting little clips lined up to play for you. Now, of course, the US authorities have already been mounting the pressure and the accusations against this man. People high up in the Republican Party calling for the whistleblower to be extradited. And he's been called a traitor. It's been called treason. And he's even been called a narcissist by one particular Republican. I can't remember. That might have been Dianne Feinstein. I'm not sure who said it, but I definitely read it. This type of demonization will continue. They've also denied, his employer has denied that he was ever paid a $200,000 salary. They said he was paid a $122,000 salary. Again, a kind of a put down, almost as if to say this guy is just a low-level nobody. But then if he's a low-level nobody, how did he have access to such incredible information? But look, the point of it is that first of all, they're going to deny him any moral status. There will be individuals popping their heads up who will be championing him. And of course, there will be protesters doing the same. But what you will get from the mainstream media will be a slow but building a chorus of denunciation. But they'll do it gently because they know that the general public needs to be carefully managed here because the information that's been disclosed is pretty significant. He will be demonized. They will try to completely destroy his credibility. And, of course, by portraying him as some kind of opportunistic criminal, that, of course, will help to destroy his credibility in itself. But I have some clips I want to play to you today from people who will be supporting Edward Snowden. And at the moment, they're few and far between on the mainstream. And I think it's very important to focus on the really positive views about what he's done. And first up, I have a short clip here from Julian Assange speaking from the Ecuadorian embassy in London, where, of course, he is actually being given asylum because Julian Assange, of course, being a whistleblower himself, is wanted by the US government and has also been demonized by the US government. And just a couple of days ago, he was actually asked on an Australian television program about the whole Snowden affair and the PRISM program revelations. So I'll kick that off for you right now.
Let's talk about the 29-year-old former CIA staffer Edward Snowden. It's now been revealed that he was responsible for those leaks to The Guardian and The Washington Post, revealing the way the US National Security Agency gains information from internet companies Google, Facebook, as well as US telecoms. Have you had any communication with him?
We have had indirect communication with his people.
What do you mean?
I don't think it's appropriate at this time that I go into further details, but let's look at the case and let's look at what he's revealed. What he has revealed is what I have been speaking about for years, that the National Security Agency and its allies have been involved in a mass interception program of Google, Facebook, the various telecommunications data, the telecommunications flows to the United States, which is about 99%, for example, Latin American traffic flows to the United States. Bulk interceptions of many, many people, many, many Australians. And we must ask the question, and the Australian government must answer the question, how many Australians have been intercepted? In the relationship between the Defence Signals Directorate and ASIO and US intelligence, has the Australian government been pulling that information about Australians? Has it been pulling that information about Americans? There's been admission here in the UK that GCHQ, which is the big electronic spying agency here, the equivalent of DSD or the National Security Agency, has been involved in that program, in the PRISM program, since at least 2010, accessing data obtained from Google, Facebook, Yahoo, etc. Is the Australian government still involved in this warrantless interception program? Are there collection points in Australia? Have Australian companies being part of this, having their information sucked out to the United States? Is this being done without a warrant? It is simply not acceptable. And if I am elected to the Senate, the Australian WikiLeaks Party position is that there should be no interception, none at all, of Australians without proper judicial oversight. No warrants without a judge assessing independently the warrant, and there must be reporting every 6 months to the Australian Parliament on how many interceptions are occurring. You know, we run the danger here of the West more broadly drifting into a state where there are two systems. There's one law for the average person, and there's another law if you're inside the national intelligence complex. You can intercept whoever you want, you're completely unaccountable for your actions, there's no judicial review. That is not acceptable. I don't believe Australians find that acceptable. I don't believe that Americans find that acceptable. Snowden clearly didn't find that acceptable, and he was even someone in this system.
And is that the basis for your pitch for election to the Australian Senate?
Well, we have a great many reasons, and these various policies of different kinds will be released during election cycle. But in essence, the values of transparency and accountability and resistance under pressure that I have developed through hard experience with WikiLeaks, that is what we intend to take to Canberra.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I do encourage you to take a look at the WikiLeaks party and the plans there of Julian Assange to run for the Senate in Australia. I think at least it gives you something to vote for in the upcoming federal election, which is not completely meaningless. I know not everyone is a huge fan of WikiLeaks, but I think over time, I think Julian Assange has shown himself to be such a courageous individual, and I guess his punishment and suffering is such, you know, in his confinement for 1 year in this prison-like condition of being kept in the Ecuadorian embassy, has possibly softened some people's opinion of him initially. Back in 2010, 2011, I know many people who are 9/11 truthers were sceptical and perhaps suspicious of Julian Assange because he didn't really come forward to talk about those really, really central conspiracies, indeed, that underline the power structures of the world. And it is disappointing, of course, because we know that that the questions about September 11 are real, vital, and we know we've been massively deceived. But it's interesting to reflect that the position which Julian Assange is in is extremely influential. And he's managed to avoid the label of conspiracy theorist. You see, the label of conspiracy theorist is used widely, and it's tarnished the reputation of many people who are actually very intelligent and have a lot of brilliant things to say. I think on one level it's a bit of a game. I think that the media baits people who step out, who become whistleblowers, who have insights and critiques of the system, and look for some hook they can attach. Now, they didn't succeed in attaching the conspiracy theory hook to Julian Assange, but they certainly attached a few other hooks to him, didn't they? I mean, the whole Sweden affair, the whole business with him being charged with, well, not even charged, alleged sexual violations, again, is just an attempt to smear his character. We are going to break. I'll be back with some more clips on the Snowden prison affair. Do stay with me. It's going to be worthwhile listening.
to man is so unjust. Children, yeah, don't know who to trust. Your worst enemy could be your best friend, and your best friend your worst enemy.
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. Great to have you listening today, and I do hope you manage to check out our website at some point, truthnews.com.au. A lot of interesting interviews and discussions between myself and various colleagues over the years, and we've covered quite a lot of topics, quite a range of interesting material on the site there. Now, talking here about the US NSA surveillance system, the disclosures of Edward Snowden. And I'd like to move on now to another clip from CNN. And this is actually on the Piers Morgan show. And we actually have some quite interesting statements here. Initially from the former director of the CIA, James Woolsey, who comes across as a quite chilling, quite dark and scary individual in the way he eyeballs the interviewer and the way he attempts to reframe the questions that are posed to him. And then he just casually says that he hopes that Edward Snowden is locked up for the rest of his life. But more importantly, I think, and more interestingly, I think he manipulates the facts. He lies quite palpably about what the nature of the PRISM program is, in claiming that it is merely about phone call records, and you'll hear that in a minute when I play the clip. Well, the revelations of Edward Snowden, which haven't been denied by the US government and have been supported by documents, show that it is far more than just a monitoring of phone calls. Monitoring of phone call times and dates. That is part of it, certainly, but it also involves a deep data mining of Facebook and Google right into the content of emails and conversations. And one would assume Skype also, because Microsoft, of course, owns Skype. I think this claim that they make that it's only about monitoring phone records is just a convenient little lie that makes it just seem a little nicer. It's like when they try to cover up torture. You know, they just talk about harsh interrogation procedures and they say, oh, well, you know, it's just harsh interrogation procedure. It's not actually torture. It's so evil, isn't it? The manipulation of truth, the covering up of facts with twisting of language, twisting of the meaning of words. Anyway, without further ado, let me play to you the clip here. It begins with the interview there with James Woolsey, and then it shifts to an interview with Ron Paul. And I think this one is extremely important because, as I said, I wanted to highlight individuals around the world who are supporting Edward Snowden in very, very strong, unequivocal terms.
What is concerning many Americans is the sheer quantity of private data that appears to be being amassed by the government without anyone outside of a few select people in the judiciary, the executive, and Congress knowing about it. And it may be a symptom of modern times, but, you know, I feel uncomfortable that people I don't know everything about my online activity. Why should they?
Well, they don't know everything about your online activity because it's illegal for them to take some steps with respect to it, such as to get into the substance of the intercept. What this is, as far as Americans are concerned, is what's called metadata. It's who's calling whom and so forth. If you and I talk on phones to one another every day, and then one day I call Ayman Zawahiri of Al-Qaeda in Pakistan, somebody is going to say, you know, I wonder what... has been going on between Woolsey and Pierce. Let's have a look at that. But routinely and systematically, there's no looking into the substance of your calls or mine. It doesn't work that way.
Ambassador, just hold there for one moment. I want to bring in now a man who says that Edward Snowden has done, and I quote, a great service to the American people by exposing the truth about what our government's doing in secret. Ron Paul is a former congressman and former presidential candidate. He's now chairman of the Campaign for Liberty. Ron Paul, thank you for joining me. You are a supporter of Edward Snowden and his actions. Why?
Well, from what I hear and what he's done, I mean, he's done a great service because he's telling the truth. And this is what we are starved for. The American people are starved for the truth. And when you have a dictatorship or an authoritarian government, truth becomes treasonous. And this is what they do. If you are a whistleblower or if you're trying to tell the American people that our country is destroying our rule of law and destroying our Constitution, they say, they turn it on, they say, oh, you're committing treason. So this is a big problem. And to expect any changes without an announcement like this, things keep getting worse. They've gotten worse steadily for the past 10 years. So essentially, there is no Fourth Amendment anymore. And for somebody to tell the American people the truth is a heroic effort. And he knows that it's very risky. He knows he's committing, civil disobedience, and he knows that he could get punished. But he believes very sincerely, I'm sure, I've never met the man, but he believes very seriously that what our government is doing to us is so serious that somebody has to speak out. And I think the large majority of American people are sick and tired of hearing how many people are having surveillance on them, whether it's their phones, their internet, and email, and everything else. Matter of fact, I think the president ought to send them a thank you letter because the president ran on transparency, and we're getting a lot of transparency now. So and finally, we're getting the president to fulfill his promise about transparency. So that's pretty exciting for me because I believe in transparency. But we have our government turned on its head. The government is supposed to be open, and we're supposed to have our privacy. But we don't have any privacy, and the government's totally secret. And then they combine this with what they do with the IRS. Maybe that's how they line up their targets in the IRS. They check on our phone calls and find out what kind of business deals we're doing so we can audit them and do all these kind of things. It's just totally out of control.
It may be, but the reality is that a new Pew Research Center tracking of millions of Americans coming up between June the 6th and the 9th said the following. Is it acceptable for the NSA to track calls of millions of Americans to investigate terrorism? Acceptable 56%, not acceptable 41%. So the significant majority of Americans appear to be in favor of this. Going back to you, Ambassador Woolsey, if I may, I just want to read out the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution to remind people. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Now, I just don't see how you can say that what is going on here in complete secrecy from 99% of the people it's being done to lives up to the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. It is palpably a breach, isn't it?
Well, it depends on whether or not you want to preserve the country's ability to operate in a world of terrorism in which a lot of terrorists are very technically sophisticated.
Well,
if you want to defend the country, you're
right.
Going to have to defend it.
Right, and, but I understand that, and there's a lot of sympathy for that from many Americans, but that wasn't the question. The question is whether...
It is the question.
Well, it's not...
It is the question.
No,
the balance between security and liberty is the question.
I understand that is your answer. But the question I was putting to you was whether what is going on, given the absolute secrecy with which it has been going on until Edward Snowden revealed this, whether it is actually allowable under the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Where is the probable cause
given
for 99.9% of the information being effectively seized here?
Given the fact that this system was put together by the people's elected representatives, that it's been upheld by the courts, that it's monitored by the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, that it's monitored by Attorney General and officials in the executive branch every 90 days. It was one of these 90-day reports that was leaked. And that it is systematically supported by people like the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, Senator Feinstein, I think you would have to say that the government on this subject has done a reasonable job of balancing these two very important interests. If you try.
Okay, we'll just leave it there. We are going to break. I think it's interesting to note the way this man completely reframes reality. He even reframes the question he's been asked to make it suit the answer he wants to give. The question was about the breach of the Constitution, and then he tried to make it the question was about the balance of security versus freedom. Whereas, in fact, he changed your perception. We're going to break. We'll be right back. Welcome back here with Truth News Radio. And we're covering news in relation to the exposure of the PRISM program, Edward Snowden, the whistleblower. And I'm playing to you a number of clips from the media that I've picked up over the past few days and trying to really highlight the significance of this event and those that are basically saying that this man really is a hero, and what that means for us all, because I think we need a lot more heroes, folks. We need far more. We need heroes on every level, and of course there could be many more heroes ready to step forward in many of these organizations. I mean, organizations like the NSA, they employ hundreds of thousands of people. If you combine that with all the other secret surveillance organizations in the US alone, it's an incredible number. And but the ones who come forward are so rare, they're so important, but I think that they also can be a beacon. And I think it's very easy to start a cascade and perhaps an avalanche as a result of this. And I think that the powers that be, the authorities, know that that's a risk. Therefore, they're going to try and manage this very carefully. They're going to try and isolate and demonize Edward Snowden, and the mainstream is not going to allow many people to come forward to actually endorse him and to hold him up as a hero. But of course, we have the internet, we have the alternative media, and that's where the action is on this subject. Now, I've got another clip here I want to play to you, an interview from the Real News Network with Ray McGovern, who was himself a former CIA analyst. And he's being asked here about his reaction to the whole subject of the PRISM program and Edward Snowden.
Well, all I can say really is that this time today, I'm feeling much more hopeful for our democracy than I was feeling this time yesterday. This morning I spent up at Fort Meade, where Bradley Manning is being court-martialed for giving us the information necessary for our people to know what's going on. Similarly, Snowden did the same thing. It's so encouraging. It really is encouraging that a 29-year-old, or now Bradley Manning is 25, but he was 22 when he decided to that it was his courage that would be necessary to follow his conscience and reveal those documents. It's very, very encouraging to see that young people like that have been able to do some of the things that have been very difficult for people of my generation to do, because we've been so hidebound behind secrecy strictures. And some, like myself, I feel great remorse that we didn't step up to the plate and do precisely the kinds of things that Snowden, Bradley Manning, and, of course, Daniel Ellsberg did in their day.
Now, speaking of Daniel Ellsberg, in a piece in The Guardian today, Daniel Ellsberg, the man responsible for the Pentagon Papers leak to The New York Times, he says that this leak by Edward Snowden is the greatest leak in, is the most important leak in U.S. history. What's your response to that?
Well, I think Dan is absolutely right. If you look at how our civil liberties have been eroded, how we have a president who actually says, you know, the president swore to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, but now he's editing that. Now, hello? And it's sort of weird. This is what he said last Friday. I want to read it so I don't misquote him. When I came into office, I made two commitments. Number one, to keep the American people safe. Number two, to uphold the Constitution. Well, hello, Mr. President. You swore one oath, and that was to uphold the Constitution. It's possible to keep Americans safe by adhering to the principles of the Constitution and not playing fast and loose with the First, the Fourth, the Fifth, and other amendments. You know, it's really indicative of how he really comes at this thing, that he edits his own oath of office. And that's what's been going on around here, because you know the slogan, after 9/11, everything changed. So
I'll just pause it there. I think this, again, is really worth highlighting, really worth paying attention to. It's a sign of tyranny. It's a red warning sign to me, the way they manipulate language, the way they get away with breaches of trust, repudiation of covenants, of agreements, of the law, when they say things like, as Ray McGovern there pointed out, he actually says I made two commitments, to keep America safe and to uphold the Constitution. And you know what that implies is that keeping America safe, and the fact that that came first, you know, first keep America safe, second uphold the Constitution. Now this thing about keeping people safe, it's a cover word, and it implies so many things that are so repressive and so incredibly intrusive on people's lives. They're getting away with it on many levels, but one of the levels that they're getting away with it, which I find most obnoxious, is the way in which they twist words around, as we saw there before with James Woolsey from the CIA, who actually even reframed the question that was posed to him about whether or not the PRISM program transgresses the Constitution. And then he said, well, that's not the question. Like, oh, the question is about the balance of safety versus freedom, you know, security versus freedom. And I'll tell you what I think, ladies and gentlemen, I think that's a completely false dichotomy. I don't think there is ever a balance between freedom and security that has to be struck. This is a phrase that the media loves to bandy about, that politicians love to bandy about. It has no reality. It's just weasel words. It's a cover. Why do I say that? Well, it's very simple. Laws exist. Laws are already in place. And the laws are a product of thousands of years of civilization, which give the system a structure, right? And they've been put there to allow the judicial system to function, to try and find the real perpetrators of crimes, to try and clearly define what is considered to be a crime, and to also provide, very, very importantly, protections for those who are accused. And why do we provide protections for those who are accused? So that we don't make the mistake of putting the wrong person behind bars. But of course, in a tyrannical society, in a society that's totalitarian, they don't care about putting the innocent person behind bars, because a tyrannical totalitarian society rules through power and fear. It does not rule through justice and truth. It's an absolutely critical thing to remain aware of, that a totalitarian society, government or power structure, does not care about innocent people going to jail. It does not want to protect the innocent. It wants to scare everyone into obedience. Now, sometimes that will be through jailing or prosecuting or persecuting people who have done bad things. And of course, many people have done bad things. There are many wicked people out there. The Nazis locked up many bad people. The Nazis had very strict laws. And a lot of people thought that was great. Oh, look, the Nazis are locking people up who perform any minor violations. Isn't that great? Law and order. It's this concept of law and order. But along with that law and order, when all the people who were just being chucked into concentration camps because they questioned the government, that always goes along with the law and order when it turns into a tyrannical law and order system. Let me just return you now to the interview here with Ray McGovern.
So government officials, congresspeople, pundits on TV, they've all defended this NSA program and have said no laws have been broken and that these measures are necessary to protect security, just like President Obama argued when he defended these programs last week. What's your response? Are these programs necessary to defend America's security and national interests?
Well, that's the right question. No, they are not necessary. The real question is why they sing this same song. It's because they're all complicit. Congress either doesn't want to be informed about this or is and keeps mum. The judges are out to lunch. When they're asked to decide something, they always go with the government. And so what we have here is a situation that I've never seen before, where the president himself thinks that he can get away with, well, he can get away with murder with respect to the drone strikes on American citizens, and he can also do these kinds of incredibly intrusive surveillance techniques that we had been warned about, but now we have the documents. And I have to say that Dan Ellsberg, to his great credit, he and I, but he much longer, have been calling for people to speak out with the documents, okay? Now, Bradley Manning did that to a fare-thee-well, right? And so did Snowden. And the interesting thing here is I learned today that the Washington Post would only maybe publish a couple of them, you know? And that's why he finally went to The Guardian and got The Guardian to publish maybe all, I'm not sure, but certainly more. So it's all hanging out there. And the interesting thing to me is that when Snowden was asked, you know, what would disappoint you about what you did? You seem to be enthusiastic about what you did. He says, yeah, I think I did the right thing. I'm proud of it. I felt in my conscience. Well, what would make you disappointed? And he said, if nothing happens. And there you go. You know, what he's worried about is like a two-week furor in the press, and then nothing happens. And that's where we come in.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are at the end of the hour. And in the second hour, I will have my guest Brian Monk on. Brian Monk, farmer turned activist against gas drilling, coal seam gas, which is destroying the environment in many parts of Australia. It's going to be an extremely interesting interview. Do stay with me. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. It's great to be with you today. We'll see you after the break.